back here Wednesday, everybody. Enjoy your day and enjoy Rafter Baseball right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Governors in several states in the Midwest have declared states of emergency following days of heavy rain and catastrophic floods. CBS's Jonah Kaplan's in Spencer, Iowa.
Right now, I think the most important thing is to get power restored, because that way at least you can get some sort of services. People are going to need food, they're going to need shelter, bathrooms, running water.
A dam breach could force evacuations in Minnesota. People in New Mexico are checking on their homes for the first time in a week after wildfires forced them from their homes. Jorge Navarres is in Ruidoso.
I don't have a word for the emotion. You know, it's just a wonder, an angst maybe. I don't know. If it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. It's all we can really do, right?
The ACLU and others are suing Louisiana now over its controversial Ten Commandments law. Dan Max with the ACLU, which also represents parents in this suit.
They don't want the state and state officials being in charge of the religious education of their kids.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The National Weather Service is confirming at least six tornadoes touched down in southern Wisconsin Saturday. Communities hit include Janesville, Marshall, Watertown, Lake Geneva, Delavan, and Tennyson. A likely tornado destroyed an historic church in Argyle. Apple Grove Lutheran Church was founded in 1893. Democrats are reminding voters what's at stake on this, the second anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski.
President Biden is ready to sign Tammy Baldwin's Women's Health Protection Act that would make Roe v. Wade the law of the land. And he's been very clear. Politicians should not be making our health care choices.
Many Republicans say abortion is a matter best left to states. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kaye. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, June 25th, the Wisconsin Rapids Joint Review Board will meet at 1 p.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. In Portage County, the Solid Waste Management Board meeting scheduled for 4 p.m. has been canceled. The Planning and Zoning Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. There's a blood drive today in Wisconsin Rapids. The Community Blood Center will be collecting donations on Monday, June 24th from 2 to 7 p.m. at the former East Junior High School. Because of the road construction on Lincoln Avenue, park in the 6th Street parking lot and enter in the cafeteria fieldhouse doors. The Adams County Sheriff's Office has issued a flood warning for the Wisconsin River at Castle Rock Dam. This affects Juneau and Adams counties until Wednesday morning. Officials expect localized flooding near Highway Z and Double H downstream of the dam. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kaye, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers beat the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers breaking up a three-game losing streak in San Diego, finally coming up with a win, 6-2 over the Padres. Things got started in the second inning with Sal Frelick at bat on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
2-2 the count. And a base hit into left field. Ortiz on his way as Adames will score. Ortiz will go into third. And it'll be an RBI single for Sal Frelick.
The Brewers scoring five runs in the second against the Padres right-hander Michael King, manager Pat Murphy.
We got a little lucky, didn't we? Some of the hits fell in and some of the grounders got through. Opposite field grounders and a couple bloops. And King's good, man. That guy's good. Guy can pitch.
The Crew opening a home series tonight against the Rangers. Hockey, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. The Florida Panthers host the Edmonton Oilers with the Stanley Cup on the line. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong with heavy rainfall, damaging wind gusts, and large hail. A low in the upper 60s. Sunshine's back for tomorrow, warm but not as muggy, and a high in the mid-80s. Mostly sunny and highs in the mid-70s Wednesday. It's 82 right now.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a totalitarian Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We prepare for a presidential debate, most important in your lifetime.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, there it is, Monday. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, back after a long weekend. Johnny Lupinacci, man, we are glad to have you back, you know, out there. Yeah,
on the road, but technically in the air. But, you know, I'm back in the saddle, so couldn't be happier to start the week off. Man, what a week.
What a week ahead of us. But I tell you, what's most important is to see you there with your gear. In tech, because you were bringing your gear and it was lost in flight, and we were like, "What is Johnny?"
Wasn't lost. It's never arrived at the same. I to be fair to the airlines, I hit a number of cities in a short amount of time, and so once it fell behind, it just kept traveling and missing me. And okay. Then it was here when I landed back in Washington, and you know, I got off the plane, went and picked my gear that never quite made it to me, but beat me home.
Nice.
And so I picked it up, and yeah, I'm all back in the home studio. And
if people are watching on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, you can see Johnny's got his mic, he's got his headphones, he's looking good. Johnny, you know what's great though?
Well,
come on,
if we're on the same page, I'm thinking, man, wouldn't it be nice if you and I could just head down and have a brew. Company Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Monaco Brewing Company. And those guys are big time advocates for public education. They're always working hard to build community and make great beer. You know what, Tim? What's funny about them is they brag they're the most sued brewery in America for good reasons, because they're taking on some big giants. But the Monaco Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out monacobrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Ah, there you go. Man, that's exactly why it's great. Monaco Brewing Company. But Busted Pencils, I tell you, Johnny, it was a week last week. You know, we ended with, I just go with the end, you know, Louisiana put in the Ten Commandments. Had to talk about that. But the other really big news, CNN last week dropped a major story. They did the research. It was finally about time to see this in the mainstream media. But looking at, we talk about this show. In fact, Minocqua Brewing Company, yeah, they went after the vouchers in Wisconsin. But in Arizona, a full expose of the voucher program in there, and then really got to, though, talk to an expert finally, not a journalist who tries to try to act like they understand education, truly went to Save Our Schools and got this person. She has 12 years experience teaching elementary and middle school. She's a seasoned expert in K-12 education policy. She's also a dedicated mom and a passionate advocate. And she is the director, founder of SOS, Save Our Schools, Arizona. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Save Our Schools, Arizona. Beth Lewis, how are you doing, Beth?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm great. Coming to you from hot Arizona.
Yeah, we were talking about that. It's a little bit, you know, unseasonably or weirdly hot, because it's kind of like, for a lot of us outside of Arizona, it's like, well, it's always hot there, Beth. What do you mean it's hot?
It's hot, but it's humid. I don't know how y'all do it. The dry heat thing is real and it works. And right now, it's not working out for us.
So, Beth, before we get into this, you know, the vouchers, what's happening in Arizona, Save Our Schools Arizona. Talk a little bit about where Save Our Schools Arizona came, how it got founded. You give us some mechanics. What's happening with the organization?
Yeah, thanks. So we started in 2017. We were just moms and teachers that were going down to the Capitol after Trump got elected, trying to figure out what on earth was going on with classroom funding. And, you know, why was this lady, Betsy DeVos, becoming Secretary of Education? And lo and behold, they dropped a universal voucher bill in our legislature. And we got to watch sort of like the crazy political shenanigans that went down. And so we sat around a kitchen table and we're like, what are we going to do about this? Like, this will destroy our public schools. And so we did a referendum. We had to collect 110,000 signatures in 3 months in the Arizona heat. And everybody was like, oh, there's no way you could do this. You guys have no political experience. You know, you're just a bunch of moms. Like, well, watch us. And we did put it on the ballot in 2018. Voters rejected it 2-1. They absolutely stomped on that referendum. You know, vouchers never win when they're on the ballot. And that was true in Arizona. And then we kind of formalized and we said, well, we did this thing, but the voucher pushers aren't going to stop. So we can't stop either. And sure enough, they came back every single year. They tried to push, you know, more and more expansions. And then in 2022, they did the ultimate, you know, universal voucher expansion, the first and least accountable, most expansive in the entire country. And now we all have to sit here and deal with the devastating impacts of that decision.
Well, so and that's the history there, too, is Save Our Schools. And this, you know, what I like, though, too, is what you talked about here, Beth. It's, you know, a bunch of people, it's like a bunch of moms, but you're the, you know, not the Moms for Liberty. And I love Save Our Schools finally getting some media exposure because of the hard work that you guys are doing. And people are thinking, are going, SOS, maybe there's one in my state. There very well may be. In fact, look across. It was, you know, the early to the Save Our Schools. Some people are going, I remember in 2011 or 12 when Matt Damon spoke in Washington, D.C. Yeah, that was kind of the origins of grassroots, truly grassroots parents, students, teachers, activists getting together and saying, save our schools. Because Beth, you highlighted very much what you knew in 2017 was they were coming for public education as we know it, whether it's in the vouchers. And so, yeah, if you're out there listening going, see if there is a Save Our Schools, but get this movement, because I was really looking forward to having you on, Beth, because I think the Save Our Schools movement needs to be reignited across this country. And so when you're talking about the voucher expansion into Arizona, we know the expansion in Wisconsin. We know the expansion in Ohio. We know the expansion in Florida. It's expanding everywhere. And so thank you for the hard work, first of all, that you and Save Our Schools Arizona is doing out there.
Oh, thanks for the thanks. It's exhausting, but it is so worth it. I know you all, well, you, Tim, are in Wisconsin. We work with the amazing folks at the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We are not all affiliated under the name Save Our Schools, but there are organizations like ours and Wisconsin Penn in every single state. And I'm happy to connect you. So just reach out on Twitter, whatever your social media is, and get you connected, because you're right, Tim.
Yeah, it's good because the movement, yeah, because it's just going to continue. And as you say, as they point out really in the CNN here is that the unaccountable, but then, you know, the vouchers, let's do this. So we have to always do this. Vouchers 101 in Arizona. What are they? How do they work? And why is Save Our Schools Arizona saying no vouchers?
Yeah, so a voucher is basically, you know, just the government handing over $7,000 to $40,000 on a debit card or in an account for anybody to use basically however they wish with very few guardrails in Arizona, which I know sounds bananas, but it's really true. So folks can use it for anything that's deemed educational by our totally wackadoodle Department of Education run by a superintendent who really doesn't believe in public schools. And so a lot of folks who are using the voucher are people who always chose private school. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. But now they're taking this huge amount of money that our state cannot afford and nobody budgeted for. There are also a lot of folks that are using it to homeschool. Most folks will tell you it does not cost $7,000 per child to homeschool. And so there's tons of waste in the system. And you can even see all of these Facebook posts of parents saying, I don't even know how to spend all of this money, you know, like crowdsourcing ideas of like, I have all this extra money, what could I do with it? And so they're coming up with like, you know, kayaks and bounce houses and water park admission. And the Department of Education is just greenlighting all of this. We had a report last week that said that they were buying, there was an $1,800 collectible Star Wars Lego set.
I was gonna say that Arizona's the news story with people buying like Johnny the ultra ultimate Lego sets, you know, like with a Millennium Falcon you can actually take between planets once you build it, you know, it's fully got the work. Yeah, I mean thousands of dollars, you know, unaccountable. But you know, Johnny, when we've talked about that, we kind of hinted that in Florida there was some noise about some of the vouchers being used on Disney trips in you know, things like that. But the reality now, though, is Beth, these aren't fake stories. This is what's happening, because the money, if I'm a person, what you're saying is, and so I potentially homeschool my kids. And I'm like, wait a minute. I now have access to upwards of minimum $7,000 that's mine. The state doesn't ask me for receipts to say, how did you spend this the right way? Or there's not guardrails. Or is it just, I make the connection of going, well, it's a bounce house and we're studying the physics of bouncing.
Right. Yeah. They do ask for the receipts, right? And there's a review process, but that's the process, right? Is saying, well, you know, I saw a basketball hoop at a local public school that serves 1,000 kids. So I should get to have a basketball hoop in my front yard for PE for my kid, you know, same with like a piano in every living room. It's just completely washes away the entire idea of public education. And it's actually really fiscally irresponsible and is being pushed by people who champion themselves as, you know, the responsible ones. So yeah, it's open to a ton of grift. We've got private schools that are jacking up their tuition rates because, you know, free enterprise system's going to do what it's going to do. And we also have a lot of subpar strip mall schools that are popping up everywhere. And there's no regulation. There's no safety regulation. So we have no idea if the folks in front of kids are qualified teachers, whether they're teaching qualified curriculum, whether they're teaching that, you know, I don't know, Jesus rode a dinosaur 6,000 years ago. We don't know, but we do know that they're not accredited and they're popping up everywhere. And we even have like micro schools opening in people's garages and nobody knows whether kids are learning next to like power tools.
Our guest is Beth Lewis, Save Our Schools, Arizona. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, you can give us a call, 855-752-4842. Vouchers in Arizona. CNN did a huge story last week. Beth was featured in that story. You kind of hinted, though, too. I want to ask the question, wait, Jesus and dinosaurs, that didn't happen? Oh, wait, that can be taught. Hey, people in a public school, that's what we want to get into. What are the accountable regulations that go in? Or actually, there aren't very many. And really, this, who's drawing on this unregulated tax money? Who are the people grabbing the vouchers? It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. Give us a call when we get back.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guests, director, executive director Beth Lewis, Save Our Schools Arizona. The number is 855-752-4842. Sherry and Horicon, thank you for saying good evening, Johnny. We always love when Sherry's out there texting in to tell us hello. Appreciate that. Johnny Lupinacci. So, we were talking about the vouchers, and we say, you know, what's happening in your state with vouchers? So what's happening in Florida? What's happening in Wisconsin? What's happening in Ohio? What's happening in Arizona sounds very much like what they've kind of warned us about. So before we get into how vouchers are being used, Beth, I was wondering, though, the question of going, but why did somebody originally say, hey, we should give kids a voucher so they can go to private schools? I mean, what was the original thought there?
It's a complicated answer. I mean, if you go back to, you know, the segregation academies in the 60s that were a result of Brown versus Board, like, you can point to the very, very racist roots of the original voucher system, which was championed then by Milton Friedman, right, who is obviously not a friend to public education and, you know, not a good guy. But then if we look at sort of the modern iteration, there's been a lot of money poured into these fights across the states. And it's always starting with sort of like a sympathetic audience. Like, we want to help low-income students. We want to help children of color. We want to help students with special needs. And it's been proven time and time again that these special interests are really just trying to wedge open the door, right, to sort of condition folks in that state to maybe think that vouchers are a good idea. And they started in Arizona with special education students, but it's, you know, it's taken different pathways in different states. But bottom line, we know that's not the kids that it's benefiting.
No, we put that out there, too, because, you know, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, the home of vouchers, we said it was put forth as, yeah, we're going to give kids, poor kids, typically minority poor kids who are in.
Go yard this summer with special rebates from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Right now, you can upgrade to a new Bryant AC and get up to $1,650 in rebates and rewards on qualifying models. It's a surefire way to beat the summer heat and walk off in style. Comfort Air, your local experts doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
Hurry! This offer is good until the end of June. Get started now by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfortair.biz.
The 24-25 Local in Lubbin at Mini Magazine is available now out in your community. Once again, you can pick up your books at participating businesses and nonprofits. For just $20, you can enjoy recipes, jokes, contests, and best of all, save tons of money in the area. You can even find great deals on food, drinks, golf, groceries, and most of the area boutiques. In need of a service? Enjoy savings on tires, paint, windows, travel, and mobility equipment. And now you can receive $10 a month at Ho-Chunk Casino in Nakusa. Don't forget, you can also play contests and win gift certificates within your community. Listen for local and Lovin' It radio ads throughout the month on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR and 105.5 FM WIRI. And get your books at businesses like Lake Arrowhead Golf, Goodfellas Pizza Pub and Eatery in Nakusa, Ida Sports Bar and Grill, Quality Foods IGA at West Grand and Baker Drive, Savory Steakhouse in Kellner, Sherwood Lodge Bar and Grill in Rome, and Sportsman's Pub and Grill. Let the savings begin with Local and Lovin' It mini magazine, available today.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Raptors baseball on WFHR.
Raptors baseball is on the air. It's game two of this series with the Waterloo Bucks in Riverfront Stadium in Iowa. Andy Ockham, your voice, the Raptors on WFHR. Back with you as always. It's the 13-13 Raptors tonight, looking to get above 500, squaring off with the 14-11 Waterloo Bucks. The Bucks a game and a half out of first place in the Great Plains East standings. Your Raptors currently sitting in third place in the Great Lakes West with just a handful of games left in the first half of the season. Let's take a look at yesterday's game, the first game of this two-game set, and the third time the two teams met this season. Nick Paulson, for the second time against Waterloo, got the ball for the Raptors, going three innings, allowing three hits, two runs, both of which were earned. He walked one and struck out four Buck hitters while throwing 68 pitches. Aiden Epperling, the right-hander, opposed Paulson. On the Waterloo side, going six-plus, allowing eight hits, two runs, both of which were earned. He walked two and struck out two Raptor hitters in the 72 pitches he threw. From there, things got hairy with each bullpen. Let's start on the Waterloo side. Ethan Alexander entered after the beginning of the inning in the seventh. As mentioned, Epperling went six-plus, so he worked his way into the seventh frame. But Alexander gave up four runs on just one hit. That's because he walked three batters in 26 pitches. The right-hander, making his second appearance against the Raptors this season, just could not find the zone, allowing for Wisconsin Rapids to chip away. And it was a part of that six-run top of the seventh the Raptors had to knot up the ball game and then take the lead. Chaney Trout, the right-hander, ended up getting the win out of the pen. Two scoreless and two hitless innings against the Raptors on 23 pitches. Sam Skowrich entered in the ninth inning with the Bucks leading by four, and he had command issues as well, similar to fellow right-hander Ethan Alexander, not recording an out in the ninth inning, allowing two earned runs and walking three. Sam Hart getting the save, getting the final three outs and punching out two Raptor hitters in 14 pitches. Out of the bullpen following Nick Paulson, it was Matt Hurd, the right-hander from the University of North Georgia. And Hurd was good for his first three innings until he worked into the fourth frame of his relief outing. 3 2/3, his final line, allowing eight hits, four runs, three of which were earned, all three of those coming in the bottom half of the seventh inning. He did not walk a Buck hitter and struck out three on 73 pitches, his highest pitch count of the season. Unfortunately, Michael Perrello, in his second outing as a Raptor, picked up the loss again. He also picked up the loss in the nightcap at Athletic Park against Wausau last Thursday. The right-hander from UC Irvine throwing an inning and a third, allowing two hits, four runs, three of which were earned. He walked one. It did not strike out a Buck hitter on the 36 pitches he threw. As mentioned, Trout the win, Perrello the loss. Hart the save. Time of the game, 3 hours and 5 minutes, 609 in the house here at Riverfront Stadium on that Sunday matinee. 78 degrees and sunny at the time of first pitch. Eight runs on nine hits, five errors, seven left on for the Raptors. 10 runs on 13 hits, no errors, and eight left on for Waterloo. The Bucks got their scoring started in the bottom of the first, putting up two after Lucas Moore and Ben Wilmus led off the frame with Knox. It was a double for the left-handed hitting Moore, and then Wilmus was brought home on an RBI single, and he was scored by another RBI single from today's starting pitcher, Evan Morrison. We'll get to more of last night's game and preview what is to come in just a few minutes, but for now it's the National Anthem for Riverfront Stadium and Raptor Baseball, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life.
And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
At CBD American Shaman, we're here to support your journey to wellness with legal hemp-derived products. Our certified CBD consultants offer a clinical approach to meet your specific needs, whether it's easing chronic discomfort, reducing stress, or improving sleep. We're passionate educators helping you understand the benefits of hemp without the stigma. Discover the natural, legal way to a balanced life at CBD American Shaman. Visit us today and experience the difference.
Construction again.
Thanks for tuning in to WFHR. The Birthday and Anniversary Club is sponsored by El Cafe Restaurant.
Really, man? It is hot. I'm stuck in traffic. Now I'm hungry.
Don't let your hunger monster win today. Feed it with a carnita burrito or taco.
That sounds really good right now.
El Cafe in Fort Edwards, where your hunger problem is a taco away.
Yeah, probably closed with all this construction.
Just go west on Verbunker, then south on 3rd until you get to 221 Market Avenue in Fort Edwards, Wisconsin.
Well, that was easy. Now that is a burrito.
Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
With combined decades of experience, the team at Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help with exterior projects ranging from siding, roofing, windows, and gutters. The new exterior showroom helps complete the 3D visualizer picture and will bring any project you're dreaming of to life. Wisconsinites know the weather changes fast and can be unforgiving. Call 715-423-5616 for a dedicated and caring team that will be there to help from start to finish. Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.
Let's play some ball here in Waterloo, the second of this series between your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors and the Waterloo Bucks is just a few minutes away. Andy Ockham, your voice, the Raptors on WFHR. You can catch all 72 Northwoods League games for your Raptors this season right here on these airwaves, whether it's on your FM AM dials at 97.5 or 1320, or on your Civic Media apps. Game 27 of 72, you flip the numbers. Have some fun doing that in that regard. But the Raptors enter tonight 13-13, looking to improve and get above 500 as they've been hovering around this mark for most of the last couple of weeks. We were talking about the game last night, or I should say yesterday afternoon, the 10-8 final. Bucks getting their first two runs in the bottom of the first inning. They chipped in the fifth as well, adding another. But the Raptors down 3-0. Entering the top of the seventh inning, a six spot. We mentioned Ethan Alexander entering the ballgame, having trouble with command. The Raptors took their walks and took advantage. That was also the inning where Jorge Degatti and Trotter Boston came off the bench in consecutive plate appearances. Degatti, an infield single that put two runners on with nobody out, and then Trotter Boston drove home the first run of the game to make it 3-1 Waterloo on a base hit to right center field. Tracer Lopez following Boston bunted himself aboard and later scored. Owen McElpatrick, with the bases loaded, was hit by a pitch. Onati, a batter following, was also walked. And that drove in another run. Matthew walked after that. So it was a walk fest around the bases that allowed the Raptors to get back into this ballgame. an inning ending 6-4-3 double play from Grayson Schaefer got the Buck bullpen out of it. In that three spot in the bottom of the seventh off Matt Hurd, though, on a Ben Wilmes single, an RBI double from first game Buck Chase Beatty. And then a bunt hit for Evan Morrison kept the merry-go-round going. And then a batter later was a big two-out RBI double for the shortstop Ian Halverson to make it 6-6. The Bucks would add four in the bottom of the eighth off Michael Perrello. Raptors got two back in the ninth after Sam Skarich entered and struggled with some command. But as mentioned, Sam Hart, the right-hander who picked up the final three outs in the save, came in, slammed the door shut with a couple of strikeouts of Grayson Schaefer and Cashel Duggar to end the contest. Once again, the final box line for yesterday reads as follows. 8 runs on 9 hits, 5 errors, 7 left on for your Raptors. 10 runs on 13 hits, no errors, and 8 left on for Waterloo. If you're looking for some keys to the game, that's got to be one. 5 errors for Wisconsin Rapids. 3 of them came in that 8th inning. Something to look forward and look at moving forward into this ballgame. Tonight, though, the starting lineups are as follows as the Raptors getting ready to hit off Evan Morrison. Yes, that's right, Evan Morrison, the second baseman from Waterloo. A ball game ago, Owen McElfatrick will lead off in center field. Mason Onati will hit second at second base. Jorge Degatti will bat third in right field. Max McGuire will clean up at first base. Walker Buchanan will hit fifth in left field. Grayson Schaefer will hit sixth as the DH. Trotter Boston, the seventh spot, will play short. Kyler McIntosh, the third baseman, will bat eighth for the Raptors. And Cashel Duggar will hit ninth and catch. Arnon Mulamekic to get the ball when we head to the bottom of the first. But a first pitch strike from the right-hander Morrison into Owen McElfatrick. As mentioned, Morrison, some two-way play here this year. This is just his second appearance as a pitcher for the Bucks. As the 0-1 breaking ball flipped in for a called strike quickly, nothing at two on McElfatrick. Uniform matchup, the home whites for the Bucks with their blue sleeves. And for the Raptors, their maroon road tops with gray bottoms. 0-2 on McElfatrick, the right-hander Morrison fires. Missing low on that breaking ball, it's now 1-2. McElfatrick led off yesterday and played center for the Raptors like he's doing here tonight. Reached three times. He singled in the first, hit by pitch, like mentioned, in the seventh, and later scored, and scored in the ninth as well after he led off the frame, being walked on 5 pitches. The 1-2 from Morrison. This is upstairs on a fastball count, evens 2 balls and 2 strikes. Morrison, a returning Buck from a season ago, received 8 at-bats as a position player, and out on the mound, pitched in 6 ball games. His one game this year, 3 innings against Thunder Bay back on June 19th. The 2-2. This is up and away. McElfatrick from 0-2 to full in his first plate appearance tonight. In those 3 innings against Thunder Bay 5 days ago, Morrison allowed 7 hits, 2 runs, both of which were earned, did not walk a Border Cat hitter, and struck out 1 in the 15 he faced. The 3-2 home. This is low for ball 4, a 6-pitch walk drawn by Owen McElfatrick to begin this ballgame. Continuing to have a knack to find himself out on the bases. Mason Onati, playing now his 25th game with the Raptors this year, will hit second at second base here today. In the finale against Madison on Saturday, Onati's played a few different positions. Obviously, being a middle infielder, you kind of have to be able to play all over the place. And for the Raptors, having Trotter Boston, Tracer Lopez in the fold, it's tough for Onati to get shortstop reps or even more reps at second base nowadays. He played center field in that finale against Madison at Witter Field. First pitch from Morrison to the left-handed hitting Onati misses high for ball one. Onati yesterday, not record a hit, but did drive in a run, was walked and hit by a pitch. He scored twice in his 5 plate appearances. The 1-0 from Morrison will have to wait. It's a pickoff move to check in on McElfatrick at first base. Let's look at Waterloo defensively. Larry Edwards is in left. He did not play in the game yesterday. Ben Wilmes is in center. Jay Williams in right. On the infield, Chase Beatty goes from one corner to the other. First yesterday, he's at third today. 1-1 pitch, hit on the ground over to first. That's going to get under the glove of a diving Heisen into right field. McElfatrick turns on the burners. He'll go first to third. And the Raptors are cooking here in the top of the first inning. They're on the corners with nobody out. Jorge Degatti, who did not start in the ballgame yesterday but did get in later on and went 1-for-2, has a chance here with nobody down in the frame. The rest of the Waterloo infield with Beatty at third. Cooper Schulte was a pinch runner in yesterday's game. He'll play short. Ian Halverson moves over from short to second. Marcus Heisen also had a pinch hit plate appearance yesterday. He'll play first, as just mentioned. Matthew Martinez to catch for the right-hander, Evan Morrison. Righty-unrighty battle. First pitch to Degatti. Catches the outside corner for a called strike. Now a 10-game hitting streak for Degatti. A .358 hitter on the season. 16-for-67. Should say 24-for-67. He scored 16 runs. The 0-1 home from Morrison. It's one foul to pack by Degatti. It's now nothing at two. A three-hit game in the 12-10 victory against Madison on Saturday night in Wisconsin Rapids. He scored twice. Last time he drove in a run was in the 15-3 win in the day cap at Wausau on June 20th. Degatti getting on base at a 450 clip so far this season, slugging 433 with an OPS of 883. The 0-2. This is high on a fastball. It's now a ball and two strikes. Max McGuire on deck. He did not start, nor did he appear in the game yesterday. To follow him is the right-handed hitting left fielder in the five-hole, Walker Buchanan. Looking over at first, Morrison comes set. The right-hander peers into Martinez. And we'll look over to Onati at first base. For the Bucks, 1-9, Wilmes will lead off in center. Morrison, the pitcher, he'll be the DH as well when he exits off the mound today. He'll hit second. Chase Beatty will hit third as the third baseman. The 1-2. This one hung in the air. Degatti hits it high to left center field. Wilmes ranging over. He makes the grab, tagging his McElfetrick. He'll score without a throw. It's a sacrifice fly for Jorge Degatti, and it's 1-0 Wisconsin Rapids with one down at the top of the first. Productive is Jorge. He's obviously having to wait more to extend his hitting streak to 11 games, but he drives in a run for the Raptors and gives them an early lead. Marcus Heisen will hit cleanup and play first base. Larry Edwards out of the five spot will be in left field. Ian Halverson will hit sixth and play second base. Jay Williams, the right fielder, will hit seventh in right field. Cooper Schulte will hit eighth at short. Matthew Martinez, the nine-hitter, will catch for Waterloo. First pitch breaking ball from the right-hander. Morrison misses low on McGuire. It's now 1-0. Onati off first being held on by Heisen. The next delivery to Max. Breaking ball hung and hit high in the air left field. Larry Edwards out in front of the warning track back at the wall. Jumping, he's unable to make the grab. Onati hits the bag at first. He was waiting to see if Edwards would catch that baseball, so it'll only be a single for Max McGuire. A loud swing of the bat puts runners on first and second for Wisconsin Rapids with one down here in the first inning. Hit the Green State Credit Union sign out in left. Edwards making his first game started and appeared in this series. Wasn't sure if that ball was actually going to have the legs to get out or not. Regardless, it brings up Walker Buchanan. The runner in scoring position, Buchanan also in the lineup yesterday, hit cleanup, was in left field. First pitch from Morrison fouled back to the screen. Home half of the first, it'll be the left-hander Arnon Mulomekic heading out to the mound, already rocking a lead. The 0-1. This one bounced in, backhanded by the catcher Martinez, a back pick to second to try and keep Onati close. One won the count. Raptors collected two hits in this inning already. The next delivery from Morrison. Breaking ball flipped in there for a called strike. It's now 1-2. The 1-2 pitch hit in the air center field. Coming in on it, Wilmes. Ben's there to make the grab. It's the second out of the inning. Grayson Schaefer will hit sixth for the Raptors today as the designated hitter. He was in the five spot yesterday and played third. Schaefer reached twice. He walked on five pitches in the second and reached on a fielder's choice in the fourth inning. Hit to two double plays, though, did Schaefer. A 6-3 double play in the sixth and a 6-4-3 inning ending twin killing in the seventh. First pitch to Schaefer, a breaking ball right over the heart of the plate from Morrison. It's 0-1. After Schaefer, it'll be Boston and McIntosh. Left side of the Raptor infield awaiting in the wings. Back at second, Morrison the 0-1. This is down to the dirt. That one kicks away from the catcher Martinez, ricocheting in front of the Buck dugout. Onati to third, McGuire to second. That's where they'll stay. Two runners in scoring position. With two away and a 1-1 count on Grayson Schaefer. Chance here for Wisconsin Rapids to add on to their 1-0 lead. A lead in which was brought home on a sacrifice fly from Jorge Degatti after when Mackle Thatcher threw a six-pitch walk to begin the inning. He started that count behind 0-2 to the Northwestern Wildcat. Mason Onati then singled to right field, putting them on the corners. Perfect opportunity for Degatti to hit a long, lazy fly ball into left center that brought home the first run of this ballgame. Leading off second, McGuire. Third, Onati. A 1-1 pitch coming here to the Virginia Cavalier. Walker Buchanan, I should say, this is Grayson Schaefer, tapping it foul down the third baseline. Count now 1-2. Will miss Morris and Beatty. Righty-lefty-righty awaiting Arnaud Mulamekic. When we first inning. Yesterday it was the Bucks to get ahead in the first, scoring two in the bottom half of that first inning. The payoff pitch coming here from Morrison ahead in the count 1-2. He rocks and fires. This one misses low. Dirt kicking away from the catcher Martinez. Well out in front of the Raptor dugout. Onati stays put as the count evens at 2 balls and 2 strikes. 6 hitters in for the Raptors. Their big inning yesterday was their 6-run 7th, in which they sent 10 to the plate. The ball game yesterday in that frame alone. The 2-2. Swing and a miss. Schaefer down on strikes to retire the side. The Raptors send 6 to the plate here in the first and score once on a sacrifice fly delivered from Jorge Degatti. Arnaud Mulamekic to take the mound when we return for the home half of the first inning from Riverfront Stadium. It's Wisconsin Rapids Raptors baseball on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Pro Seamless of Wisconsin, Swiftwater Ice Cream, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Raptors Baseball here on WFHR all summer long or check us out on the Civic Media app.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Hear we? What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Raptors baseball on WFHR.
For the fifth time this season, it is the Rego Park, New York native out of Siena College, Arnaud Mulamekic, the southpaw, to take the ball for your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. 1-0 Raptors, bottom one here at Riverfront Stadium, home of the Waterloo Bucks. It's the second of this two-game series. Andy Yochum, your voice of the Raptors on WFHR, where you can catch all 72 Raptor ball games this summer on locally grown radio. Ben Wilmus, the right-handed hitting center fielder, will lead things off for Daryl Handelsman's Bucks here today. Was the two-hitter and right fielder in yesterday's contest. First pitch from Mulamekic, the left-hander on the outside corner, is called a strike. Arnaud last worked 3 innings against Battle Creek 6 days ago at home. It was the 8-6 win. He allowed 1 hit, 2 runs, one of them being earned, facing 13 Battle Jack hitters. The 0-1 pitch misses downstairs, count evens, a ball and a strike. For Arnaud, the first few starts this year, it was control that was the big theme. In his first two starts, going 7 innings, combined 8 walks, 4 apiece in each start. 1-1, misses up and away. It is now 2 balls and a strike. First start being against these Bucks. It was him and his college teammate, Noah Rodriguez. piggybacking that one, a 2-1 victory at Witter Field. The two combined for 8 innings of one-run ball as the 2-1 pitch lined into left field. It's down for a base hit. Wilmus on his high horse. McElfatrick, the center fielder, misplays, and it allows him to take an extra 90 feet. He's on second base to begin this home half of the first inning. It's going to go down as a double for Wilmus or Evan Morrison now. Going to see if there is an error charge to McElfatrick, allowing him to advance. It is just going to be a straight-up double. Evan Morrison pitching and hitting second. He'll slot into the DH spot when he's taken out of the ballgame on the mound. Was the five-hole hitter for the Bucks yesterday. Lefty-on-lefty battle here. Mulamekic peers in, looks back at second for one time, and he fires home a breaking ball that misses away for ball one. Chase Beatty's on deck. Marcus Heisen will follow. Larry Edwards out of the five spot in left field, making his first appearance against the Raptors in this series. 1-0 for Mulamekic with six on the pitch clock. Showing bunts and making contact as Morrison putting this one down the third base side on a one hop. Fielding is McIntosh. He fires a bullet over to first base in time. As a sack bunt, though, is advancing to third is Wilmus. That's where he'll stay with one out in this first inning. McIntosh, that was popped up off the bat of Morrison, played it on a one-hop, gathered all in one motion, firing a strike over to Max McGuire at first base. Defensively for the Raptors, you just heard from the corner infield, Buchanan's in left, McElfatrick in center to Gotti in right. Trotter Boston's at short, Onati at second, doing the catching as Cashel Duggar. For Mulamekic, the left-hander on the mound. Chase Beatty playing in his second game with the Bucks hitting from the right side. First pitch for Mulamekic. Misses the inside corner for ball one. Yesterday, Beatty reached three times, making his Waterloo debut in this Northwoods League season. The 1-0 pitch home. Breaking ball missing upstairs. It's now 2-0. First two at-bats for Beatty. He popped out to the rafter first baseman Grayson Schaefer both times. He was then hit by a pitch in the fifth, had an RBI double and scored in the seventh, and also had a double in the eighth inning, a couple of extra base hits for him to begin his tenure here in Waterloo. 2-0 pitch, fastball missing outside, three balls and no strikes to the count. Marcus Heisen, the left-handed hitting first baseman, is in the on-deck circle, and as mentioned, Edwards will follow. Raptors hit the road after today yet again. Two more out in Ashwaubenon against the Green Bay Rockers. 3-0 pitch, that one misses high for ball four. Four-pitch walk drawn by Beatty. He's aboard for the first time in this ballgame. They're on the corners with one away in the bottom of the first inning. 1-0 the score in favor of your Raptors. Owen McElfatrick in the top half of the frame. Through a six-pitch walk. Mason Onati then singled. First two batters of the ballgame on the corners with nobody out for Jorge Degatti, who had a sacrifice fly to left center field. McGuire then singled. Buchanan flew out. Schaefer struck out the Raptors, left two on the bases in the top of the first against Evan Morrison. Marcus Heisen pinched hit in the bottom of the eighth and singled and scored, leading off that inning. It's a first-pitch strike for Mulamekic. Starting at third was Adam Bennis. Heisen then subbed into the ballgame. He's been an everyday player here for the Bucks this season, just getting the day off, and he's back in the lineup here tonight. They're on the corners with one away for him. Mekic looks at first, five on the pitch clock, the 0-1. Breaking ball on the outside corner, it's nothing at two. Drew Taylor, the crew chief, is calling the balls and strikes here tonight. Keegan Kula down the first baseline, Jacob Gorman down the third baseline. 0-2, Mulamekic well ahead here. We'll see what the payoff is. Left-hander looks in. Two looks to first, and he fires. This one, a fastball missing up and away. It's now 1-2. A competitive 0-2 pitch, though, from Arnott. It is hotter than you can imagine here in Waterloo on this Monday night. Time of first pitch being at 6:35, just about 20 minutes ago, and the temperature 91 degrees and sunny. Heat index says it's 100 here this evening. UIC product, Heisen awaits the 1-2. This one bounced straight back. Heisen's playing in his 23rd game with the Bucks this summer. He's a 317 hitter. He played 62 games for Waterloo a season ago, which he hit 287. Two homers, 17 runs driven in, 26 for 82 thus far in the campaign is Heisen. Getting on base at a 429 clip, slugging 439, an OPS of 868. The 1-2 will have to wait. Mulamekic, a pickoff move, using that left-handed move to his advantage over to first base. And for the Raptors, when we get to the top of the second inning, 7-8-9, lefty-righty-lefty, Boston McIntosh and Cashel Duggar. The 1-2 coming here from Arnott. This is up and in. Above the head of Heisen, count even, 2 balls and 2 strikes. Heisen had a stretch, 6 straight multi-hit games from June 1st through June 11th, getting some time off in between there. It was scorching hot to begin the month of June for the Bucks this summer. He 2-2. Missing low and outside, he's worked it full. Going 3-for-4 on June 8th, despite the 5-3 loss that was against Rochester. In the series sweep on the 9th and 10th at Carson Park against the Eau Claire Express, he was 2-for-3 in each game, driving in 6 total runs in the series. 3-2. In on the hands, pops this one right to the second baseman, Mason Onati. He barely has to move to make the catch for the second out of the inning. It's a huge out number 2 for Arnaud Mulemekic, and he'll face the right-handed hitting left fielder Larry Edwards. Edwards playing in his 23rd game of the season. A native of Tulsa from Oklahoma College, Tonkawa. He's a .304 hitter, 18 hits, 18 runs scored, 24 hits and 79 at-bats. He's got 6 doubles, a triple, 3 homers, and 20 runs driven in, slugging .519 so far this year as Edwards. Did get in the game as a defensive substitute yesterday, but getting his first plate appearance of the series here. Lefty on righty battle, first pitch, a fastball grooved right in there by Mulemekic for a called strike. Edwards, 7 at-bats, 9 plate appearances. In the 2-game set at La Crosse on the 21st and 22nd, he went hitless. Last hit coming on the 19th, north of the border at Thunder Bay. The 0-1. This one, line back up the middle, it's through for a base hit. In to score is Ben Wilmes. To second is Chase Beatty. It's a 2-out RBI single for Larry Edwards, and we're knotted up at 1 in the home half of the first. Each team trading off a run in the first inning. Ian Halverson, who had a big knock in the ball game yesterday afternoon, will look to give Waterloo their first lead of the contest. Halverson was the shortstop in yesterday's ball game. He's playing second here tonight. 1-for-5, but his 1 knock and RBI double in the 7th was a pretty big one. One of the 3 runs driven in that tied the ballgame up at 6 apiece. First pitch from Mulemekic to the Bucks second baseman, misses high. On deck, it's the bottom third of the order to get going for Waterloo. Jay Williams, then Cooper Schulte, and Matthew Martinez. A run on 2 hits and no errors for each team in the early going. 1-0. On the outside corner, it's dotted for a called strike out of the hand of Mulemekic. So yes, Green Bay Tuesday, Wednesday for these Raptors. They return home for a singular game against the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders at Winterfield on Thursday. Looking forward to seeing all you Raptor fans in attendance. Mulemekic looks back at second, not once but twice. Here's the 1-1. This one hit on the ground over to third, ranging to his left. McIntosh, he'll glove and throw to second in time. It's an inning ending, 5-4, fielder's choice. But just like the Raptors did in the top half of the inning, Waterloo sends 6 to the plate, scores once on an RBI single with 2 outs from Larry Edwards. We head to the top of the second inning at Riverfront Stadium. 7-8-9, Boston McIntosh and Duggar do up against the Waterloo right-hander Evan Morrison. Don't go anywhere. It's Raptor Baseball on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Summer is finally here and outdoor adventure awaits. Get your adventure rolling with a camper from Greenway RV. As a family-owned dealership with 9 top 50 dealer awards for excellent customer service, they know the importance of quality time with loved ones. Plus, as a Route 66 network dealer, you can travel with peace of mind knowing help is just a phone call away. So kick off your next adventure with Greenway RV. You know you're in good hands. 8220 Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids or online at greenwayrv.com.
With combined decades of experience, the team at Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help with exterior projects ranging from siding, roofing, windows, and gutters. The new exterior showroom helps complete the 3D visualizer picture and will bring any project you're dreaming of to life. Wisconsinites know the weather changes fast and can be unforgiving. Call 715-423-5616 for a dedicated and caring team that will be there to help from start to finish. Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Some researchers have explored the impact of melatonin-enriched milk on sleep because it comes from cows milked at night.
Ooh.
Night milk has been shown to improve symptoms of insomnia in some people.
Night milk. Yeah. We should try some night milk.
Night milk. Yeah.
I would love to actually talk to somebody who actually does this. If this is like a new avenue for milk growers.
How about milk producers,
I should say.
Yep.
Milk doesn't grow on trees. I learned that when I was 20.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Top two here in Waterloo. No need to rhyme. I'm just trying. Andy Ockham, your voice, the Raptors on WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, whether you're tuning in on your FM AM dials or on the Civic Media app. Thanks so much for spending your Monday night here with us. It's a busy Monday night in sports, not just here in the Northwoods League, but across everywhere. We got Game 3, the finale, win or go home, a Game 7-esque environment in Omaha, Nebraska tonight in the College World Series. First pitch, though, from Evan Morrison to Trotter Boston. The left-handed hitting shortstop of the Raptors hit on the ground to first. Marcus Heisen will glove and take it to the bag in time. One pitch, one out for Morrison in the second. One run on two hits, no errors for each team. Each team left two on as well in their respective first innings. It's Tennessee and Texas A&M tonight in Omaha. SEC squads going at it. Winner takes home the crown. Champion of Division I college baseball this season. We also, for you hockey fans out there, it's Game 7 of the NHL Finals, the Stanley